Hey, everybody, welcome to NCC Online. My name is Pastor Rob. Thank you for being with us today. And if you're just checking us out for the first time, I hope that you come and check us out in person when you can. If you'd like to do that, we'd love to meet you in person. Or if you're not local, we're just so happy that you're able to connect with us this way. We were in a series called When Necessary. It comes from a quote, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." We've been talking a lot about how it is necessary to use our words to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. It's not NCC's commission. It's not just the church commission. It's actually God's commission to send us out into this world to share with our lifestyle, to share with our good works, to share with everyone we know, and also to share when necessary with our words. And so we thought it very important to have a succinct gospel message, really for two reasons. One, if you don't know Christ, that you would take the opportunity to watch through today's message. And if you want to, go back and listen to part one last week if you haven't. And consider for yourself whether these claims are true, because if they are, it's of eternal significance. Literally, it means eternal life or eternal death. And we care for you. God cares for you. I hope that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the other big reason why we wanted to share the gospel in a succinct, concise way is because we're trying to help all of our church to have a good framework to share with other people. You may already have that. This would be a great refresher. But if you don't have that, I would actually ask you to consider putting this to memory so that you will have an answer when people ask you for the hope that you have, or when God gives you a great opportunity that just opens up a door to share your life with someone. And you are able to share in a way that is personalized, but is really good and true to what the scripture teaches. Here's the graphic we've been using. It's the gospel, life in six words. We've been using an acronym that we got from Dare to Share Ministries. Want to give them credit. G-O-S-P-E-L helps you to remember it. Last week, we looked at the bad news. It starts good. God created us to be with him. That means to have a relationship with him. He loves us. He made us in his image. We have immense worth. He stamped on us value. We saw in the $100 bill and the $1 bill that there's different values that are attached to the image, whether it's a Franklin or a Washington. Well, God says, well, I can top that. I'm going to stamp my own image onto humans so that they have immense worth and that they are made a little bit like me. Not that we're gods or that we are God, but we are like God in that we can have free choice. We can have free will. We can have decision making. We can have our emotions. We can be creative, but mostly so that he could have a relationship with us. It was a good creation. It was, in a sense, perfect creation. There wasn't sin in the world. But then we see that our sins came and separated us from God. The devil in the form of the serpent came along. We see it early in the book of Genesis. He deceives Adam and Eve. They eat the forbidden fruit. And when they do, sin and death and shame and guilt enter the seed forever. And it warps everything. It corrupts their lives. It breaks their relationship with God. And it brings death into the world for the first time. And it's not what God wanted, but he also wanted them to have the freedom to be able to morally choose. And they fell for Satan's deception. And then we see that our sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So important as part of the good news message, because as humans, we're all trying to bury our sins, our shame, our guilt with some other kind of behavior. Usually it's to try to get more good deeds than we have bad deeds. And I think many people, even believers, fall for the trap that if I do enough good, then God will accept me. But the Bible is unique. Christianity is alone and say, no, it doesn't work that way. And so we want to move into this powerful part, the good news today, and move into the next three. And as we do, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for everyone listening in online. Thank you for the good news you've given us. I'm so excited to share it today. And I pray that you would use me. You would speak clearly. You would speak through your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, all glory to you and none to me, that anyone listening would receive your good news. And if they've already received it, that they would learn even better how to communicate it to others. We're so excited about what you're going to do in this year, 2022, in our church, in our locality, as everyone shares what you're doing in their lives in the good news gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the P. We're on the G-O-S, now we're on the P. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. We saw last week, we ended on a cliffhanger. We ended with some tension because the arrow was pointing to Jesus, but we hadn't quite talked about Jesus. But you could see, something has got to give, because no matter how good we are, even our righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. But 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. So Jesus enters the scene. He's God the Son. He takes off his immortality and takes on mortality by becoming a human. God, so that he could die for us. He lives a perfect sinless life. He teaches the message about the kingdom of God. And he's on mission to die in our place. He dies on the cross and he resurrects from the dead. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:6 says this way, the prophet looking forward to what Jesus would do. He says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him," on Christ, "the iniquity of us all," the sins of us all. So we see in this verse a powerful sacrificial substitute of Jesus, the Lamb of God. That someone had to die, someone had to pay the penalty for these sins. It was either going to be me or it was going to be someone else. And to pay for all the sins of all the world, it had to be God himself. So God comes, he dies for our sins, he takes our place, he takes our punishment, he takes death upon himself. And when he does so, he takes all the sins of the world. Think of this verse this way. Keep that verse up, Isaiah 53:6. Imagine my tablet is our sin. And on this hand, you have myself, or it could be yourself. And this hand, we have Christ. We have our lives, and we have the life of God. So it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. That's us. We go our own direction. We do our own thing. We've rebelled against God. We don't listen to the commandments. Each one has turned to his own way or her own way. And that's why we have this weight of sin on us. And let this tablet represent our sin. But then it says something incredible. The Lord laid on him, here's Christ, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. And look what happens. I'm free and clear. I'm left sinless, guiltless, shameless. No shame, no guilt, no sin. Clean, forgiven when I receive the truth about Christ. And God takes all of that iniquity, all of that sin, all of that weight, all of the things that separate me from having a relationship with him, and puts it on his son, Jesus. Now, we have to think about what that means for Jesus himself. Martin Luther wrote this, "All the prophets did foresee in spirit that Christ should become the greater transgressor, murderer, adulterer, thief, rebel, blasphemer, etc., that ever was or could be in all the world. For he, being made a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, is now an innocent person and without sins, but a sinner." So in other words, Jesus, of course, is sinless, but when he receives all of the sin, in a sense, he becomes the adulterer, the abuser, the murderer, Martin Luther says, because he's taking everything that we did upon himself. Of course, he buries it on the cross, and he dies for the sin of all the world. That's what we celebrate when we have communion or the Lord's Supper. And he paid for all of those sins by his blood. By shedding his blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So God himself shed his blood for our forgiveness. In the book Written in Blood, Robert Coleman tells this story. It's a story of a little boy and his sister. And they are having a pretty good life, but at one point, the sister realizes she has a very rare disease that has to do with her blood, and she needs a transfusion. And the only person that has the right blood type to give it to her that's available is her brother. And they're both kind of little. They don't exactly know what's going on. But the doctor says to the boy, John, he says, "John, would you be willing to give your blood to Mary? She needs this transfusion." Of course, he means some of her blood. And if you do that, she can live and she can go forward. John smiled and said, "Sure, I'll do that. I'll do that for my sister." And soon the two little children are wheeled into the hospital room. They're getting ready for this transfusion. Mary's pale and thin. John is robust and healthy. Neither spoke, but they looked at each other, and John smiled at his sister, Mary. But as the nurse inserted the needle into John's arm, his smile faded, and he looked like he was getting nervous, and he was watching the blood flow through the tube. And when the ordeal was almost over, his voice, now a little bit shaky, broke the silence, and he said, "Doctor, when do I die?" And only the doctor at that moment realized that John misunderstood. He thought he was sacrificing his life by giving all of his blood to his sister. And he was fretting because it was just a matter of time before his life was taken from him. Now, he was willing to do it. He was willing to die for his sister, to give up all of his blood so she could live. And in that, Coleman says, is a little glimpse of what Jesus did for the whole world, that he willingly went to the cross, that he willingly gave us a blood transfusion, but not just for one of us.